Welcome back to KSCJ Radio, 1360 AM, 94.9 FM in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vakulskas, and this is Having Read That, conversations with authors about their books.
My guest is Frank Figliuzzi. He is the former FBI assistant director. He's the author of the brand new book, The FBI Way, Inside the Bureau's Code of Excellence. The book's available now. Frank spent a lot of years working for the FBI, and now he's retired from that, but that's a small R retire because you're probably busier now than you probably were during your working days. But Frank, I'm always interested when a former government employee, be it a military, a political appointee, whatever, writes a book, they've got to go through a different vetting process that most authors do. How tough is it as a former FBI, not only an agent, but somebody who was in the know of basically everything in the FBI, how tough is it to get a book cleared to go ahead and print?
So the process took several months, Brian, for the FBI's pre-publication review unit to clear this. And I want your listeners to know that there are cases described in this book that have never before been cleared, and they are at the highest security level because the FBI agreed that these stories needed to be shared with the nation during this time that we're in.
Is that an advocacy process where the FBI will say, no, you can't put that in, and you go back to them and negotiate, or does the FBI have the final word?
The FBI absolutely has the final word. In fact, one of the documents you sign as a brand new FBI agent is that you will clear anything for publication with them at any time in your life, even after you retire from the FBI. And that's the way it needs to be. So, yes, there was give and take and negotiation. A lot of things are genericized, but here's some of the things that have been cleared for the very first time. I tell the story, and this is pertinent to what the country has witnessed for the last 4 years, of when, as assistant director, I personally had to confront a candidate for presidency who we knew was engaged with foreign intelligence officers. I also tell the story of having to confront a sitting member of Congress who was called an informant by a foreign intelligence service. These are the kinds of things that I wrap into my book and its message of values-based leadership. The heart of this book is the intersection of leadership and values and how to perform at a high level of excellence as the FBI does every single day.
You took that code and take that code very seriously as the FBI, you know, as FBI employees are wont to do. But what I found interesting is that as you worked counterintelligence as you were getting started, starting down in Atlanta. Can you explain what counterintelligence is? Because I think a lot of people hear the words on television but don't really explain what it means for an everyday agent and field operative to be doing counterintelligence investigations.
Yeah, sure, Brian. And if anybody had told me years ago that, hey, Frank, after you retire, you'd be on TV nationally almost every day explaining the counterintelligence threat to the nation, I would have thought you were crazy, and I would have asked what in heaven's name has happened to our country that requires an explanation of the foreign threat to our nation. So here's counterintelligence in a nutshell. It's the ability to detect, deter, and defeat the actions of foreign intelligence services operating inside the United States. To put it even simpler, the job of a counterintelligence agent is to make life miserable for the foreign spy and his cohorts working against us inside the United States. That means that every single FBI field office has a squad dedicated to counterintelligence. They've got one in your state, and that's because the level of threat is as high as it's ever been before.
I remember watching a television show, and at the beginning of the show, this was maybe a year or two ago, it said that there's something like 100,000 spies at any given time in the United States. And I started to do the math and thinking, that's a heck of a lot of people. But is that a fair estimate as to what, or is it even possible to know how many foreign spies are in the United States at any given time?
Well, while the exact number is classified, I think it's important to understand that the threat's even bigger than that because the numbers come in two levels. First, actual known or suspected foreign intelligence officers, meaning they're trained, they are their foreign government's employees, they are card-carrying spies for their government. Many of them are posted to the U.S., into the U.S. through their diplomatic establishments, the embassies in Washington, the consulates throughout the United States. But there's an even greater number of what we call co-optees or cooperators who are in universities, who are embedded in American businesses who are spying on behalf of those real spies and back to the motherland. That's the vastness of the threat we face.
Would foreign spies have any value to certain countries? You think of Switzerland or something like that. Would Switzerland even bother having spies? Or are we talking, when you talk foreign spies, are we talking the big ones that everybody knows, Russia, Middle East countries perhaps? Is that where the threat really is?
One of the lessons of my FBI career is that when it's in their best interest, every country will eventually spy against the United States, usually for economic secrets. There are only a handful of countries that are so aligned with us, the United Kingdom, Australia, Canada, for example, that we don't spy on each other. But when it comes to all the rest, when it's in their interest, they will spy on your company, they will spy on your university research, and they will spy against the United States.
I know there was a big case in Iowa a few years back, and there's been a book written about it, where a Chinese company was spying on a hybrid for corn here in Iowa. And it doesn't necessarily have to be a certain spying for trying to get military secrets. As you talk, I mean, we're talking agronomy here. That's a reason that people spy, right?
Yeah, the new spying, the new target, and this is where it affects every single person listening to us right now, is it's economic. It's about your job. It poses an existential threat, your trade secret. If they'll steal hybrid corn technology and steal seeds right out of the ground in an American farm field, if they'll steal the secret formula to the color white that's on a coating used to cover planes with paint, they will steal anything. It's about jobs. It's about the economy. And economic espionage is the new espionage.
I'm chatting with Frank Figliuzzi about his new book, The FBI Way, Inside the Bureau's Code of Excellence. Frank, you spent a lot of time policing your own in the FBI. It's sort of the equivalent of our local police departments that have their own type of internal affairs. But you tell a lot of stories in the book about how there's actual compassion with there at the Office of Professional Responsibility. Can you recount for me the story of the agent who was in trouble for getting heroin for his wife? Because I thought that really was a great example of the compassion that you have to have in that job.
Yeah, for anyone who's in a leadership position, whether you're leading a little league team, a classroom, your homeowners association, or a Fortune 100 company, you've got to have what I call the seven C's. And it's code, and it's a conservancy where everyone's responsible for preserving the standards of the company. And then I talk about clarity. I talk about consequences that have to happen when someone strays from the code of conduct, the core values. But right after the chapter called Consequences, I deliberately put the chapter called Compassion, because if you are trying to enforce collective values and you show no fairness and no compassion, no one's going to comply with that code or be on the same sheet of music. So I tell the story, an agonizing story. When I was in charge of discipline in the FBI for the eastern half of the U.S., we had a case where an FBI agent, under tremendous family stress, had a drug-addicted wife. He never had came forward for help from the FBI. One day, he piled the kids and his wife, who was going through horrible withdrawal and dysfunctional, into a car, drove her into the inner city, and got a fix of heroin for her because he had been called into work on an emergency, on a major case he was responsible for. There was no one to take care of the kids. The family in-laws were gone. The babysitter was gone. He made a horrific choice. And while I thought we would be firing him when I first read the file, we ended up coming alongside that family with the employee assistance program. He got severely suspended without pay, but we didn't pull the trigger on a termination because even in our cold, harsh bureaucracy, we had to show compassion for that agent.
It's just a phenomenal story and gut-wrenching to even think about an agent being in that position, because a lot of people are in that position the way the world is now. This book, I learned so much from. It is called The FBI Way, Inside the Bureau's Code of Excellence. Frank Figliuzzi is the author. Frank, just a phenomenal story that you've shared. I'm glad the FBI let you share so much with us so we can all learn from it, and I thank you for joining us to talk about it.
I'm glad we could talk, Brian. Thank you.
This has been Having Read That on KSCJ Radio in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vakulskas. Check out all of our episodes on our website, kscj.com. Also, be sure to like Having Read That on Facebook and subscribe to our iTunes podcast. Thanks to segment producer John Weisler. We will be back next time.
Ascending the stairs, Frankie, my woman. Shake your makeup in the